Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 41 of Finding True Wealth. Today, I'll be speaking with Rick Gutterson, the executive director of New Hope Center for Grief Support. It's the same New Hope from episode 5 when I sat down and spoke with Kathy Cloud, the founder. Rick has been with New Hope for 4 years, and he's been the executive director for about a year now. Actually, when I was leaving my role as chairman of the board in 2017, ushering in Rick as executive director was probably one of my last tasks, and definitely one of the most proudest that I can say when I look back on my contribution to the New Hope community. Rick and his lovely wife, Cheryl, live right here in Plymouth. Rick has a master's degree in social work from Wayne State University. And honestly, I just can't say enough great things about Rick and his passion and leadership and all that he's given to the New Hope community and the community at large. So let's get after it. Hey, Rick, welcome to Finding True Wealth.
Thanks for having me out here, Nick. I appreciate it. Love having the opportunity to chat with you.
Well, Rick's real high energy, right? So I can see the microphone spiking, right, when Rick's talking. But I think that the energy, you know, comes from his passion about what he does. And we had a really nice event last week, courtesy of the Packer Group, Jeff Packer and his friends. Tell us about what happened last week. Oh, that's how you know it's 9:30.
Oh. I was like, whoa, that's a really sophisticated podcast. That's fun.
Well, tell us about the golf outing.
The golf outing was awesome. You know, New Hope Center for Grief Support has done golf outings for years, but this was different. An organization that really cares a lot about people in grief contacted us, actually, and said, hey, we want to throw you guys a fundraiser because we believe in your work. And so we collaborated with them, but they did all the planning, and they raised over $15,000 for our mission, which was absolutely incredible. And just see how enthusiastic their whole team was about helping grievers was incredible. And the most important part is it was fun.
Yeah,
I'm still feeling the sunburn a little bit here, but it was a good time.
Well, I know it's hard to raise money for nonprofits, especially if you're not, you know, the Red Cross or whatever. So every little bit definitely does help. But yeah. You mentioned support. They're helping. We're using the money to support the mission. What is New Hope and what is the mission?
That's a great question. So our mission is to bring hope, healing, and new beginnings to both adults and children and families who are grieving the death of a loved one. Grief affects everybody, and everyone grieves differently, and so it's so important to come alongside people. But the healing and new beginnings is so important because it's not just about helping people navigate the early stages of grief, but it's discovering long-term healing and working through some really tough stuff like guilt and anger and forgiveness, but then also coming to a place in life where you find new purpose and meaning in life and discover new beginnings and take what you've been through and invest that experience into others who are maybe early on their grief journey as well. And so that's what we kind of mean by when we say hope, healing, and new beginnings.
When you say find your meaningful purpose, that reminds me of Finding True Wealth episode 7, okay? The blueprinting experience. So the blueprinting process, it's all about finding who you are, right?
Yeah,
what's important to you? What are your values? What are your goals? Mm-hmm. What's your mission? What's your vision, right? So how do you work meaningful purpose into what you do at New Hope?
That's a great question. You know, I saw your blueprinting book, and I think it's a great tool, and I love that you're doing because it's so important. The finances are just a resource, right? The goal is to help people find their purpose. And I think for those who have always been in leadership at New Hope, starting with Kathy Cloud back in 2000 and until now, it's kind of an authentic message to us. I mean, I'm only at New Hope because I was able to really kind of wrestle with some from my past and find purpose in life again and find meaning with past experiences and using those for others. So I think that is crucial to everybody, but it's extra difficult because of the pain that people have experienced after a loss. I mean, your whole life is thrown into a whirlwind and chaos and you're disoriented and confused and overwhelmed. And those are questions that nobody's ready to answer. But But where people get stuck is they've talked about their feelings, they've shared about their loved one, but they never wrestle with that question of who am I now and what can I do with my life and can I find meaning with what I've experienced. And so that's why I love your exercise, and I think it's a tool that we can all learn from no matter what field that we're in.
You know, I'm fortunate enough at this point where I have not been in the position to have these feelings where I've lost an immediate family member.
Yeah.
I've just been lucky, I guess. You know, I've been blessed to not be in that position. Okay, so I don't know what it's like, but I see a lot of people, and I can try and imagine what it might feel like. But you know, some of these people, right? They're in no position to fill out the blueprinting book, right? Because they're in so much pain.
Yeah,
I've tried to fill it out when I've been struggling with relationships in the past, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it. So. Do you agree with that statement? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like jumping the gun a bit. I mean, it's hard to wrestle with these deep kind of philosophical questions when you're in pain. Because just like a physical injury, the pain draws our attention to that injury, right? And so all you can think about is that pain because it's trying to get your body to go, hey, notice me. We need some healing. And so with our emotions, it's the same thing where if I'm really hurting from a loss or even it doesn't have to be a death of a loved one, a loss of any sort, a divorce, a job loss, a significant injury, our focus is on ourselves because that's what we need to do to heal. And so it's hard to think about purpose in life when we're still thinking about ourselves. And so to make sure that we experience enough healing where we can come to a place in life where we're going, hey, I have something to offer this world again, and I feel like I'm ready for that. That's so important. We can't shortcut that process. So whether it's just struggling with some stress in life or experiencing a significant death, that's probably why, and I think that most people can really relate with that.
So when someone has a significant loss, you know, and they come through one of the programs at New Hope, how does that look? I mean, what is that like? With the workshops and what is the experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've got a lot of different types of programs. I mean, our most popular program, I guess if you call it popular, but the biggest program that we have that makes the most impact is our 8-week workshop called From Grief to New Hope. And it's really, it implies a journey. When you go from to, it's a destination. And so we're helping people experience life transformation. It's an 8-week workshop that our hope that people come to a position of feeling like they're ready to begin moving forward with new hope. And but that's just 8 weeks. And we know it can take months and years for people to really feel a sense of healing. And so we've got a lot of different ongoing support groups that we try to connect people with after those workshops. And we're also in a spot where we do some targeted seminars. We just launched a program last fall called Finding Your Superpowers, and it was for families. It's just the idea of looking at some of our favorite characters from movies and comic books and losses they've experienced and relating that to these kids' experiences and going, hey, as you heal, there's going to be some of these superpowers that develop inside of you, like strength or compassion, and you can use that to help other people based on what you've experienced younger.
So you brought up superheroes. I know that you're kind of a superhero. Would you say junkie or what's the term?
Slightly. I may or may not have my office full of stuffed animals and superhero toys, and people give me little weird looks, but it's all good.
All right. So who's your favorite superhero?
Oh, man. Well, Superman is my childhood hero, but I also have a soft spot for the Incredible Hulk. I don't know if that's even allowed to be a soft spot for the Hulk, but there are so many parallels in just looking at the Hulk and anger and looking out how he destroys, or he's constantly living in a state of rage, where Superman, who's equally as strong, is a controlled and a focused strength.
Yeah.
And there's this big parallel between both are immensely powerful, but Superman's able to control his strength and use it in a much more streamlined and productive way, where Hulk, you just don't quite know what you're going to get. And so I love those two characters.
And on that superhero theme, you do a kid's superhero program as well, right?
Yeah, we've been really incorporating that just because our goal with our kids is to not just work with the kids, but to help increase communication with the families. And so this creates a common language between and often the parents and the kids. And so we got a lot of great feedback last year from the parents who said, hey, I learned a lot from this program too. And now I feel like I have a shared language with my kids to talk about this stuff. And one family in particular, we heard from, they're big superhero junkies as well. And they just really connected with this program last year. And we're excited to have them more involved in this year as far as maybe even helping with it. And it's another way to bring that family closer together. Because our goal with our kids and our family program is to really strengthen that whole family unit that's been devastated by loss, often a loss of a spouse or even a child.
Or a loss of parent.
Yeah,
I mean, the kid.
Yeah.
You know, my heart goes out to these kids. I mean, who knows what they're going through?
Right. And it can take, again, you know, years.
And they can't maybe communicate.
Yep.
Well about it. You know. And,
yeah.
And decades later.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. So that's a great program. We're really excited about that. We have a lot of other amazing programs. But that's the whole goal, like you said, is, you know, getting people not just to one workshop for 8 weeks, but really helping them travel that journey together. And so our goal is to have multiple types of programs to come alongside people at different stages of that journey. Going back to what we said earlier about, at the end of the day, we want people to find a new purpose in life and use what they've been and invest that into other people who are struggling in the early stages of grief.
All right, so this is like the continuation of healing,
yeah,
right, this conversation.
Yeah.
So oftentimes people will say, you know, as they're healing, they want to give back to the people who have helped them or pay it forward to the next generation,
mm-hmm.
or this term that you're using, invest,
yeah.
right? Or also I heard you say recycle our pain. You know, this is all different. These are all different ways of continuing the healing. Mm-hmm. Talk to these points and what it means to you to pay it forward and invest and recycle our pain.
Yeah, I mean, all of them are great phrases, and I've used each of them, but I kind of recently settled in on that invest, because give back makes a ton of sense, but it also sometimes, not intentionally, but it can communicate this idea of entitlement a little bit of, hey, I've done this for you, so you should give back. And most people aren't thinking that when they say that phrase, but and then pay it forward is a great phrase. Actually, I think there's a movie with Macaulay Culkin.
It was the kid from The Sixth Sense.
Ah, yes,
that,
yes.
That kid.
That's right, yeah. Total tangent here.
I see dead people.
We don't want that. Yeah, so, but the third phrase, though, invest, because really it's a conscious choice to go, hey, I've experienced something and I have now a surplus of resources, and those resources can be emotional, like we talked about experiencing a certain level of healing. They can be time, or they can be financial. And what I love about that phrase is it's not just I'm doing something, but it's also investing. I mean, you know this way better than I do, is there's fruit that comes from those investments. You're choosing to invest those resources.
We're investing for growth.
Yes, for growth. And you see growth. And in this case, we're helping people grow. And so not only is your investment paying off in the life of that individual, but long term, how many dozens or hundreds or even thousands of people are going to be impacted because of these investments? I mean, we both know New Hope's founder, Kathy Clough.
Kathy Clough, episode 5, by the way, if you want to go back and listen to that.
Nice plug, I like it. And but she made a choice years ago to say, hey, I'd never expected in a million years to be a young widow raising 3 kids. You know, and she was, I think, in her young 30s when her husband died.
Yeah, that's true.
And she, as she healed, she made a conscious choice to say, I'm going to do something about this because there's no other programs out there like this. And she invested everything about herself, her story, her time, her energy, into making a difference. And now years later, thousands and thousands of people have been impacted because of that choice she made.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that long-term fruit. She didn't know the people that she was going to meet or come across then. And a lot of those thousands of people she's never met and maybe will never meet. And yet down the, you know, you just know that, wow, I made a difference. And I'm still making a difference generationally.
Decades
later. Yeah, actually, there's a great story we just heard recently. We've been growing and we needed to bring on an office admin. And so we put an application out there, had over 250 resumes come in, and we were just going through, and a lot of great
250.
Yyeah. Which is exciting in itself. Like, wow, there's that many people that wanted to work here. That's, okay. But at the last minute, we got this last resume in, and it turns out that she and her family were one of the beneficiaries of New Hope the first year it opened. Her mom came through the program, was actually in Kathy Clough's support group. And years later, that experience with grief and loss, this young girl grew up and said, I want to work with grieving people the rest of my life. This is what I want to do with my life. And she applied, and she's strong administratively, has some great technology gifts, and we've brought her on our team. And she shared with me afterwards, and I said, well, you should have told me this in the interview. I would have hired you on the spot. But she said, working at New Hope, starting in high school, was my dream job. And I'm like, now this girl was here years later, again, because Kathy Clow made a choice years ago, and now decades later, it's made a huge difference on this young person's life, and now she's involved, and now is going to be doing that for others.
That's a great story. It's a great example of decades and generational
absolutely
impact. You talked about, you know, different ways to invest emotionally with time and with money. So last weekend, you know, the Packer Group put up a lot of time to get this golf outing going.
Absolutely.
They didn't put in the money, but they put in the time.
Right.
Right. And that's, you know, time has opportunity cost, right?
Right.
You know, in my experience with New Hope, talking with people who have come through the programs, you know, I think of Alan and New Hope saved my life, right? And dozens of other people who have said that. And when I first heard that, I thought to myself, you know, I got to support New Hope any way I can. So we got to make sure that it's here for the next generation of grievers, right?
Right.
And so, you know, there's people that give monthly, people that serve with the board and volunteering at the office and being part of the program, part of the workshop. But there's also a new phenomenon happening, you know, like with the golf outing, where people are having fun events and raising money. And we call it?
Fundraisers, actually, with like a little quotation around the word fun. People, you know, grief support is hard and it's painful. And sometimes people don't want to think about it because, like you said, it's like makes us think about things in our own life that we don't want to think about, whether we've experienced loss or not. But we actually had a group of past program participants who approached us and said, hey, we want to do something awesome for this program and we want to help support this. And so we do all these social events all the time. What if we started doing quote unquote fundraisers, which are basically social events they'd be doing anyways, but charging a little bit of a cover fee to do it and then donating that cover fee to New Hope's program. And so we've seen some tremendous success. I mean, this golf outing was not planned by New Hope. It was planned by an outside group who wanted to do this. We've had people, we have a woman who just reached out to us and wants to plan a karaoke event. We've had a group of ladies that planned an awesome band event where they raised over $2,000 2 years in a row just to go watch this cover band play.
And I do love cover bands.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun. All kinds of things. Recently, we just had someone reach out to us, and they did a 5K memorial in honor of his late wife, who loved running, and chose New Hope as a charity to donate the proceeds because he came through our program and said it was super impactful for him and wanted to make sure other people could experience. So this phenomenon of people coming through the program or even just becoming aware of the program going, I'm now in a spot where I want to help. And so they may not be investing their time or their emotions as far as becoming facilitators or helping with the programming, but like, they know that money is what helps us reach more people and increase our outreach and even facility space is so important. And so that's been a recent phenomenon, but it's allowed us to totally transform and spend more staff time on programming.
I want to ask you about the facility in one second, but I got to tell my story about the fundraiser. Yeah. So my wife goes out of town. I forget where she went. I think she went to go visit her mom in Florida. She took the baby. Okay, so this was in February. So I thought, hey, you know, it's myself with the two boys, and we got all the, you know, the soccer teams, right? So I thought, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna invite all the dads and all the boys.
Yeah.
Right, for a dads and lads party. I'll provide all the refreshments, right? All the food and drinks. And I'm going to ask for $20 cover charge from each dad, you know? And I don't know, we raised like, you know, $300 and some for New Hope, you know? So everyone was happy to chip in and everyone had fun. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of an excuse, you know, to have a good time. And my wife's not happy about it. She feels like it's like, she feels like we're doing it in spite of her or something, something silly, but it's not the case. We're just trying to have fun and, you know, benefit the nonprofit at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
And it's cool because it's not just about the funds that are raised, but fundraising is one of the greatest ways to draw awareness to a cause. How many causes out there that we have no idea about because they're 100%
none of these dads knew anything. They've never heard of New Hope.
Right.
You know? So they're like, who are we supporting? And I give the little elevator speech because, you know, I'm pretty familiar with New Hope, so I can do that without delay. But yes, it was first time they heard, so it's good awareness. You're right.
Absolutely. It's huge. And I mean, the challenge when an organization or nonprofit is 100% funded through grants or government grants or things like that is nobody knows who they are. So when you're out in the community doing these fundraisers, you have people coming just because of a fun idea, like, oh, I didn't even know this is a charitable event.
Yeah.
And what a great way to introduce, because we know that loss can happen at any moment. It's not predictable. And so what better way to make people aware that, hey, there's a loving community of people here that are here to support you if something happens. And I had a gentleman talk about investing. This was really moving to me. He said, I'm similar to what you said to you. I'm in a spot where I'm fortunate that, you know, we haven't experienced a loss. But I know at my age that my wife or I will have to use your program at some point, and I want to make sure it's around when we need it.
That's
and
great.
So he started donating, and I was just like, I was moved to tears because I was just like, he gets it. This is about long-term sustainability, because it's not just about what we're doing here, but going back to Kathy 20 years ago, like, this is a needed resource in the community, and how many people can we help in the future by doing what we're doing now? And we're laying that groundwork for other family members and generations down the road to get the help they need. And so, and it all starts with that awareness. And, and this fundraiser idea has been an amazing way to create raise funds and awareness for the cause, which is so, so important.
And every time you bring up Kathy Clough, I'm just like in awe what the Bairds with John and Betty partnering with Kathy, you know, and the vision of... You know, they must have filled out the blueprinting book, right?
That's their
vision for the future,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, because if you flip that around, Kathy can't start New Hope without John and Betty Baird.
Yeah.
And he had recently retired, I believe, from his organization. And he said, I still have purpose. I still have a purpose in this world. And I need to find a new meeting now that's apart from my job. Hey, this woman's really passionate about grief support. I want to come alongside her and share in that vision.
And invest.
And invest his resources. And look at, again, years later, decades later, the story we shared about the young person who's now a staff member, it happened because of Kathy, but it also happened because of John and his investment in sustainability. And I love that both of them are still heavily involved with New Hope from afar.
And
it's so cool.
I got to share this funny story about the Bairds. So John and Betty from Ohio, Ohio State grads.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I see the tension rising already.
Yeah, the blood pressure just went through the roof. So they settle in Southeast Michigan with their career. And so they raised their family here in Michigan. And grandson, CJ Baird, attends the University of Michigan, God bless him, and was the student manager on the basketball team. This year, 17-18 season, gets the walk-on nod.
Yeah,
right? So he was actually on the team and played in the tournament, played in the Final Four. Hit a three-pointer in the tournament and got a block shot in the Final Four game, you know, on mop-up duty. But it was awesome. What a great feel-good story. And I got to wonder, you know, is John, you know, switching, you know, to Michigan, right?
Yeah, his alliance has changed.
Look, I know Betty is all in because I see her Facebook posts. Yeah. She's a Michigan fan now. But I'm still working on John.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to land this because I'm a Wayne State grad. So basically, I'm like the little, like, go play with the go eat to the kids' table, you know. So I don't know where I know my university has green in it, but it also has, like, yellow. So I don't know.
Do they have a basketball team?
I think there's, like, there's a guy who plays basketball at lunch somewhere, and that's their...
I see.
I shouldn't make fun of that. Who knows? Hey, Wayne State alums out there, sorry if I'm making fun. I apologize.
It's all in good fun. Okay, so Rick, tell me about... Last year, the transition from Griswold in downtown Northville to True Downtown on Center Street and, what is it, Katy?
Center between Main and Dunlop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the reason behind that, so Nick, I love that we both have this passion for talking about the why, right? And Simon Sinek has played a big role in both our lives just reading his stuff.
Start with why.
is basically that we felt that we could provide more consistent services throughout the year if we had a facility that people could come to us in addition to us going out in the community. And because not everybody's situations align with a certain program, and some people need support before they're willing and able to go into a larger program, because it can be scary to talk about stuff, especially if you experience trauma. We have a lot more people reaching out to us after a suicide or an overdose. And so we just knew we needed to increase our capacity by having a central location that people could find us, and also increasing our presence. Our old facility was great. It's this beautiful home on the water in Northville, but people couldn't find us because we couldn't have signage. And it wasn't really suited to have seminars or support groups. And it had, you know, as a historic home, so lighting was low. But instead, we had this new place that people can find us. We're right in the heart of downtown. People stop into a restaurant and they mention a loss. You know, hey, there's a grief support nonprofit right around the corner. We have people that walk in off the street unannounced, and we can get them resources. We've signed people up for a program. We've had just impromptu 45-minute discussions with somebody just because they're there. And we saw a huge spike in attendance last fall right after our move in our open house. We had a well, gosh, 30+% increase in our workshop attendance.
Wow.
That fall.
Wow.
It was absolutely incredible. And I think it was the exposure. And so now what we've done is we've been able to launch new programs that are smaller, but because we have a space for it, volunteer orientations, leadership training, new types of support groups we're looking at launch. And then just one-to-one individual support. We don't do counseling, but sometimes someone just needs to come in and talk and know that you're listening. And then we can provide them with resources. We've got some great materials. Kathy Clow, we've mentioned her multiple times. She has a great book that we have as a resource. We have a little Gift of Hope booklet that people mm-hmm. can pick up and give away to someone with a recent loss. And we're in the process of developing some new resources so that no matter what someone's experience is, whether they've lost someone themselves or they know someone who's experienced loss, they know, hey, I don't know what to do, but New Hope Center for Grief Support does, and I can call them, and they're going to have a solution for us. And that was my vision for moving, and we've already seen tons of fruit out of that, and we think that's a first step for us as we grow our reach. And there's so much need in the community that is more than we can do can reach right now, and so that's our big goal.
All right, so as we transition to the end of the podcast here, I want to talk about, you know, grief in our culture, how to respond to someone who's grieving. I mean, what comes top of mind are there's been 8 school shootings year to date. Okay. Just another one.
Yeah.
Last Friday.
Yeah.
You know, if I know some of these families, or if I work with some of these people who are experiencing something like this, what am I going to do? Mm. Like, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, there's so many thoughts that go through our head. And there's a lot of great content online if you Google what to say, what not to say. And I could fill up a whole, you know, building with quotes. But the easiest thing I'd say is people sense when we're fearful or uncomfortable. And so if we can make a choice to act or to speak with love and not fear, no matter what we say or what we do or how we respond, that'll at least make it adequate. So when you enter into a space, whether it's at a funeral or just coming in contact with somebody, people act towards grievers like they're contagious, like they have something wrong with them, and they physically remove themselves. You see this like angst in somebody, and the person who had experienced a loss can feel that. And so if we're able to step into that situation and say, hey, I don't know what to say, but that doesn't matter. I'm just here. And I just want to know. I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. And I'm sorry that you have to go through this. You know, it's such a powerful and bonding experience that in that moment, they don't feel like they're alone. And it doesn't change what they've been through, but it can be super helpful. And then there are a couple of specific principles that you can use, because the big question people ask is, what should I say?
Yeah.
And often there are no words. And I think that's something that you can say, but there are a couple things that you absolutely 100% want to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is just the idea of we call it shooting on people. It's
what on people?
Yeah, shooting. SHOULD. I'm not getting a potty mouth. Don't worry, guys. But the you shoulds, right? How many times, whether we've experienced or lost, someone just barks in with some unasked for advice. Well, you should do this. You should do this. Have you tried this? And it's just off-putting.
No one likes to be told what to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so we joke around. I guess sometimes we have to have some fun, right? But don't should on people. S-H-O-U-L-D. Again, we're going to spell that out. I'm not swearing. But it's so important. And the other thing is at least. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how many people have been hurt by that statement. And it's usually good intentions. But, well, at least this didn't happen. Or at least you still have this. I heard a word, and going back to the long-term healing, there's this young woman who had lost a baby, and it had just happened, and she was at the hospital. And she said that it took years to overcome the fact that one of the people that came up to her was trying to be supportive, but said, well, and this individual had just lost a parent. And then she said, well, at least you didn't have a long life of memories with them that you're grieving. Are you kidding me? That's absolutely the worst thing you could ever say. And this devastated her in just the most insanely painful moment of this person's life. It took her years to process that and ultimately forgive that person and come to a place of, they weren't trying to hurt me. They just said something dumb because they didn't get it. And that's what I love about this program, is that we get it. We've all been through personal loss. You know, I started with New Hope before I had experienced the death of a close family member, but my family had experienced losses with, my cousin dying of brain cancer, my mother-in-law dying of cancer. And I saw the devastation in their families, but it wasn't until my mom died suddenly after I worked with New Hope that all of a sudden I knew that pain and that look in the eyes and said, wow, I didn't know what this felt like. I could read it all day long in a book, but now I feel this, and everyone's loss is different, and so but
and you started gets it. You started, you know, coming from a different industry into nonprofit, and with New Hope starting in a fundraising type role, right?
Yeah,
and now shifting to executive director and more programs related. So talk about that transition.
Yeah, you know, I'll just kind of keep it brief, but I'm only at New Hope because of the whole idea of finding purpose and meaning in my own painful situations, apart from grief and loss, just struggling in life. And as I realized, hey, I have a purpose in this life, I knew I wanted to dedicate my life to helping people who were in pain. And so I switched careers. I grew up, actually, I was in automotive sales and retail management. And so I saw this opening after I got my undergrad in social work at this grief support organization. Like, I've never done fundraising, but I'm comfortable talking about money, and I know this cause matters. And so that was a huge transition for me. Again, finding, you know, redemption and redeeming the pain that you've gone through. But then after my mom died, it changed my heart and it made me more compassionate and more empathetic as I healed. And I was able to use a lot of those experiences that I need to advocate for this cause. But I also love writing programming and speaking to grievers and just helping people, especially who haven't experienced loss, feel like they can still do something about it. And it doesn't have to be this foreign, like, scary topic.
Yeah.
And that's a part of life, because every nonprofit exists to solve a social problem. Grief is not the problem that we're trying to solve. Grief is normal and natural and a necessary thing for healing. The real problem that exists in our culture that New Hope is trying to solve is our culture doesn't get it. And we don't know to talk about it. And in fact, we view culture, we view grief as something to be avoided. We view it as something to be fixed or numbed or cured. And that's the real problem. And the more people that we can help long term, who then come back as volunteer leaders and program support group leaders, we are going to transform this way, the way our culture looks at grief and loss, one person at a time. And it feels like it's a way to honor my mom and the family members that we've lost, as we then use what we've experienced to help others. And thousands of people, starting with Kathy Clow years ago, have done that same thing. And now, as a result, you know, we're just at the beginning phases here, but we're going to continue to help a lot of people. So,
wow, that's really touching, Rick. That's great stuff, man.
Yeah, thank you so
Keep
much.
Keep up the great work.
Yeah, and thanks for being a part of it. It takes a lot of courage to enter into a space like this, not having gone through it, and yet going, something needs to be done about this cause. And for years, you served and served on the board and just invested your own resources. And there's countless other people that you may never meet, but know that you made a difference in their lives as well.
Thank you. And I have one more question
before
we go, okay? You say you're a Superman fan, right? Right? He's your number one guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago, they had Superman versus Batman, okay? In this movie, Batman basically defeated Superman.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, how did you react when you're watching that movie?
Oh, man.
It must have been upsetting, right?
Yeah. I actually wrote a whole blog on that. This could turn this podcast into another half hour long. But so quick background. So Superman became my favorite because my mom introduced me to Superman years ago. And uh-huh. So the 1970s Clark Kent, you know.
Christopher Reeves,
the flyer on the world, the little wink at the camera. She's just like, oh, he's so dreamy. You know,
oh, yeah.
I'm like,
very
oh, Mom,
handsome,
that's gross.
Very handsome, yes.
But that's really what started my love for comic book characters. So years later, I have this association with Superman. I love him as a character, but also it's kind of a sentimental, like, bond. And so that was the first Superman movie that had come out after my mom had died. And the way that they treated that character in that movie made me so angry.
Yeah.
And I was so frustrated. And so I've never left a movie theater so angry in all my life. And I couldn't figure out what was going on until I realized this has nothing to do with the movie. This is about me missing my mom and feeling they did a disservice. And I had to really process that. But at the end of the day, it was still just a really crappy movie.
Yeah. And to think that Batman, who doesn't have any super skills at all, Right.
To
defeat Superman is ridiculous.
Right. Well, and think about this, too. So Batman's whole journey is fueled because of the loss of his parents, right?
Oh, my goodness.
What about, look at years later, not so much in the movies, but in the comic books. What did he do with that? Yeah, he's got some issues he's still got to work with. He may need to lighten up a little bit. But he invested in Robin, who also had lost his parents.
Okay, well,
he became a mentor.
This is the second half hour that starts right now.
I better cut this off right here. But there's so much to unpack in those. I love it. And we're going to be doing something. Every fall, there's a national holiday called Children's Grief Awareness Day. It's the Thursday before Thanksgiving. And so that's when we're doing our Finding Your Superpowers seminars this November.
Okay.
And we think it's going to be a great annual event to serve kids and families by helping them unpack these stories.
Okay. Well, hey, Rick, thanks again for your time today. We appreciate you very much.
No problem.
Keep up with the great work.
My pleasure.
That was just great sitting with Rick.
If you'd like to learn more about New Hope, check them out online, newhopecenter.net. A couple highlights from our conversation. I really like the idea of the fundraisers. We can raise money and raise awareness for charity. And again, a big shout out to Jeff Packer of the Packer Group. I know they put in countless hours to make that golf outing a success last week. And it, like Rick said, it was north of $15,000 for the New Hope mission. Hey, if you have ideas about an event that you want to do, like a fundraiser, and you're looking for some guidance or looking for a charity or a nonprofit who you'd like to benefit, don't be shy. Reach out to Rick at online at newhopecenter.net. Also, talking about the programs impacting the community generational and over decades. And that is really powerful. I mean, we're about 18 years into New Hope's, 19 years into New Hope's experience, and we're pushing two decades, and Rick talked about how it's already generational. And I like how Rick's message ties into blueprinting as well. I mean, after a major loss, we may need to take a step back and evaluate, you know, who am I? Or what's important to me? And what does my new vision of my future look like? What does that look like? If you think that you could benefit from blueprinting, you can download the PDF workbook. It's on peakwm.com. Hover your mouse over the peak difference and choose blueprinting. The PDF is at the bottom of the page. You can also schedule an appointment on that page with me. And you can also listen to the blueprinting podcast. And if you have over $500,000 and you're looking for a second opinion, maybe your financial plan hasn't been updated. Maybe you're unsure about the investments that you're in. Maybe your investments are too risky for you. Maybe the fees are too high. Or maybe you're just working with someone who never communicates with you. Hey, maybe it's just time for a change. If you feel that way, reach out to us. You can email me, nick@peakwm.com, or find us online at peakwm.com, where you can apply for an appointment.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.